16 years ago, I was in a hotel and I was awakened at about 4 o'clock in the morning with the news that my father had died. I don't remember the date exactly on the calendar, but he died on this day, a very important day. You're listening to Longitude. It's Thursday, October 4th, 2007, and I'm Darris McNeely. This is no ordinary day. This is the last great day. It is the final holy day of all the 7 holy days mentioned in the Bible that God gave to mankind through ancient Israel. This is the final holy day, and this is a very special time. This is a day when God's people gather, and this year I'm gathered with those people of God who have traveled to Amman, Jordan, and we are observing the last great day in an Arab nation, quite a unique experience in itself. But this is a day that pictures the time when God is going to bring justice to every human being who's ever lived, when God will resurrect everyone who has lived and give them an opportunity to know the truth. This is a very special time. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, we read about this biblical day. And by the way, if you've not read all about the holy days and God's holy day plan, be sure to do so online at wnponline.org. You can find your way to a link there that has all of our booklets online. And the booklet on the holy days, God's holy day plan, has a chapter about the last great day. It has a chapter about every one of the holy days. But if you haven't read that, I would encourage you to do so following this, listening to this podcast, and go and look it up and read it. It'll make a difference in your life if you don't fully understand what this day pictures and what it's all about. Biblically, this is a day that is pictured by a number of key scriptures. One of them is in Revelation chapter 20, where we read in the story flow of the book of Revelation, the time of Christ's return, just as humankind is about to extinguish all life on this planet, God intervenes in chapter 19, Christ appears on a white horse, and he makes war in righteousness and judges, and Christ returns. He resurrects those who are the saints, the dead in Christ, and for 1,000 years, this world is restored. This world is rebuilt according to the teachings of Acts 3 and verse 19, where it is said that Christ is going to restore all things. For 1,000 years, this world is going to be renewed. And the prophecies of the millennial scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament will come to pass. It will be a completely different time. But at the end of that 1,000 years, there is another event that takes place, and that's why this day is so critical. In verse 6 of Revelation 6, we read about those who are blessed and holy, who have part in what is called the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Back in verse 5, it says, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is what transpires at Christ's second coming. This period described here as the time when the rest of the dead live will take place at the end of that 1,000-year period. Now, if you skip down to verse 11 of chapter 20, John's vision says, he said, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. These dead, small and great, are all the mighty, the powerful, the rich, the wealthy, the poor, the unknowns, those who lived and did not leave a mark upon any society or any part of history in this world. The dead, small and great, they will all stand before God. They will stand before God, in a sense, all equal. Heredity, title, rank, privilege, wealth, poverty, it's all wiped away. They stand equal before God, and the books were opened. These are the books of the Bible, opened to them for the first time in their life. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life is a symbolic reference to the eternal life that God offers to mankind, and the opportunity to have one's name written there. And it says in conclusion of verse 12, the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. And so there will be a time of judgment for these dead, small and great, who stand before God. They will have the books of the Bible open to them, and they will live out a period of time when judgment will be upon them, judgment for the first time in their life. This is not a second chance. This is their first opportunity to have their names written in the book of life and to be judged by God. It is going to be a unique period and a unique time in all of history. This is the period known as the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, or the time period covered in this holy day called the Last Great Day. Many of you may be familiar with a reference from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, where the prophet was led out by the Spirit into the midst of a valley in Ezekiel 37, and he saw that it was full of bones. And God caused me, as he says, to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were dry. Death. Death of people ages long. The ages have passed over them. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This is describing a physical resurrection of people that we read about in Revelation 20, verse 11, the dead, small, and great, who will stand before God and be judged. This is a physical resurrection back to a physical life, and to have an opportunity for salvation offered to them for the first time. This is where you will find all peoples who have lived and have never known the true God and his true way of life, and they will have that opportunity to have their names written in the book of life. It is a wonderful truth. It is one of the most important truths of the Bible. It is where everything leads and directs us to this time when God, in all of his infinite mercy and his great wisdom, according to his plan, brings people to life and offers them the chance for eternal life. No one will not have lived and drawn breath who will not have had the opportunity to confess Jesus Christ, to bend their knee to him and to bow to him, to have their sins forgiven, and to receive the opportunity for the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. That is the beauty of God's plan. This day, this last great day, pictures that time. It's a beautiful experience. It is a privilege to understand it and to know it. When I spoke at the beginning about my father and the fact that he died on this day, the last great day, this day has a great significance for me. That's why I don't remember the exact calendar date on which my dad died. He died on the last great day. You see, my dad did not understand the truth, the Bible, that I was privileged to understand. God had chosen not to open his mind, and he'd opened my mother's mind, and through her I learned these truths. My dad died. He was a good man. He was not a Christian man. He did not profess any faith, but he was a good man in his own way. He was flawed. He was not perfect, but he was my father. And so when he died on the last great day, it was like a gift from God, in a sense that I mourned, I grieved. And I've thought of his death and his life for these 16 years. But I don't worry about my dad's eternal fate. You see, some might, because my dad was not religious. He was not what you would call a Christian. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a religious faith that at least he professed. He lived a good life, as I said. But some might worry about my father. I know some in his family did, but I didn't, and I don't to this day. Because I know my father will come back to life in this time of the Great White Throne Judgment, in this time known as the Last Great Day. And he will have the books open to him by God's grace for the first time in his life, and he will live a different life, much different than the one he lived before. That's why keeping this day, teaching it as I have the opportunity to do, living it and pointing other people to it, is such a privilege and an opportunity and an important part of the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and his message of life for mankind. And so we keep this day, and it's an understanding that I hope you have and you hold and you cherish and you learn about and you want to understand, because it gives hope. It is a day that pictures justice, a time when God will right every wrong, correct every evil, correct every injustice that has been done to everyone in the past, and people will have an opportunity to live and to be productive and have joy and have peace and have security and the opportunity for eternal security. It is the last great day, and it is indeed a great day. Keep it in your mind. Learn more about it. Understand it. Live it. Hope it. Believe it. It is true, and it is a part of God's plan, and it is a part of the Bible. If you haven't read any of what we teach about it and what we have written in our booklets, especially the one on God's Holy Day Plan, be sure that you do that. It will go through more scriptures than what I've covered here today and give you a grasp of the importance of this day. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.